Play and review Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's Kirkintilloch and Bishop Briggs Herald podcast is read to you by volunteers Alan, Corey, Hunter, Ian, Philip and Rebecca. Hall will be refurbished. Safety inspections of Lindsay Public Hall will continue to be carried out ahead of a planned refurbishment. That was the message from the local authority after concerns were raised about the state of the building. Dating back to the late 1800s, the beloved sandstone community building has been an important part of the community over the years. However, locals have raised concerns about its perilous condition and want to see that valuable asset preserved. Concerned resident David Bamford told the Herald, "The hall's physical structure is crumbling. Slates and mortar have been falling from the roof, smashing to the ground below. Open windows have left the interior exposed to further damage from the elements. Every day it lies empty. The condition worsens and I fear it will go the way of so many of Lindsay's other heritage buildings if something isn't done soon." Dave says the Community Council wants you to discuss options with Eastern Bartonshire Council, EDC, over the future of the building, suggesting they too were concerned about its condition. One long-term resident added, "Many in the community are rallying to save this piece of Lindsay's history before it is too late. It would be a criminal act to allow such a beautiful building to be demolished. It holds too many lovely memories for us all." Of particular concern, according to locals, are reports of children congregating around the unstable building after potentially putting them in harm's way. The halls were originally proposed by Lindsay residents in 1889 as a place for social clubs and events to meet. For decades, the hall served as a hub for groups like the Burns Club, Glee Club, horticultural societies and more, and as Lindsay's population grew, it became an indispensable venue for community gatherings. However, the past decade has seen the condition of the historic building deteriorate rapidly due to financial troubles and changes in management and disputes over use. In response to the concerns, EDC Chief Executive Anne Davey told the Herald there is an approved project within the Council's capital programme to refurbish Lindsay Public Hall, which the local authorities still own. She said that design and other pre-construction work are ongoing, adding, "In the meantime, we are continuing to carry out inspections to ensure the building and its surrounds are safe and that it remains wind and watertight prior to any planned refurbishment works progressing." And that article was read by me, Ian. This week in history. March 22nd, 1958. Showman Michael Todd, husband of Elizabeth Taylor, died when his light aircraft iced up and crashed into mountains in New Mexico. The plane was called Lucky Liz. On this day last year, scientists revealed they'd analysed 5 locks of what is believed to be Beethoven's hair to sequence the genome of the prodigious composer. March 23rd, 1861, London's first tramcars, drawn by horses, began operating from Bayswater, designed by a Mr. Train from New York. On this day last year, scientists discovered how a daisy native of South Africa employs deception by creating fake lady flies to attract males. March 24th, 1944, The breakout of prisoner of war camp Stalag Luft III by 76 inmates began. The event was the inspiration for the movie The Great Escape. On this day last year, the 8 pallbearers who carried the Queen's coffin were awarded the Silver Royal Victorian Medal in recognition of the important role they played at her funeral. March 25th, 1975, Saudi Arabia's King Faisal was assassinated by his nephew Prince Faisal Ibn Musad, who was later executed for the killing. March 26th, 1937, Popeye the Sailor Man became the first cartoon character to have a statue erected by spinach growers in Crystal City, Texas.
ScotRail increasing work ops. ScotRail showed its support for Scottish Apprenticeship Week by announcing more opportunities for young people. And the rail operator also celebrated the achievements of those already on an early careers pathway within the train operator. New apprenticeships will be created to provide valuable employment and training for young people across Scotland, with positions available in sectors ranging from engineering and administration to customer service. Apprenticeships can last up to 5 years with ScotRail, many of which include time to attend college or university. Trainee Blythe recently joined ScotRail on an apprenticeship, saying, "I joined when I was 16 and it's such a great company to work for. As an apprentice, I can attend further education and receive training to become an engineer. At first, it's hard to grasp that you'll be one of a few females working in the depot, but ScotRail is very welcoming, with men and women. The men and women I work with are very helpful, non-judgmental, and I know I will be supported and accepted no matter my gender. I think ScotRail is a great place to work. It's really friendly and it's a job for life." ScotRail has now announced further investment in apprenticeships, which can help shape the future skills base of the workforce and provide young people with the opportunity to gain valuable experience and education to kickstart their careers. The new recruits will join the company alongside existing apprentices, many of whom are currently on their programme towards a full-time career at ScotRail. Ryan is a first-year finance graduate apprentice working at ScotRail's head office. He told us, "ScotRail is a huge company with a very good reputation, so when I saw they were offering apprenticeships, it was an opportunity I really couldn't refuse. Being a finance graduate apprentice means you work in the head office and you also go to university. After completing my degree, I hope to complete my professional ICAS qualification to become a chartered accountant, so there's a clear pathway for me. What's good about being an apprentice is that you're working with such a knowledgeable team who are always there to help. Being alongside them definitely develops your knowledge of the whole business of finance, which you wouldn't get when you're at university. If you're thinking about taking an apprenticeship with ScotRail, I would say definitely go for it." HR Director Julie Dale believes apprenticeships are a great way to access a career within ScotRail, adding the firm was proud to be supporting Scottish Apprenticeship Week, helping to deliver more opportunities across the business. She added, "Apprenticeships can have a significant impact on the organisation, helping to tackle skill shortages and shaping the future workforce. Supporting apprenticeships can also have a positive impact on the broader economy, increasing opportunities for young people and reducing the likelihood of unemployment on leaving education. For more, head to the ScotRail website." Read by Alan Todd.
Tickets are going fast for Easter cinema showings as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Tickets are being snapped up for the latest films at Kirkintilloch Town Hall, with Trolls and Willy Wonka proving popular with audiences. The Kirky Picture Palace has a selection of cinema attractions on offer this month, with the original Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Certificate U, dementia-friendly screening first up. That is followed by a Frozen sing-along on Tuesday, March the 26th, and Trolls Band Together on Saturday, March the 30th, followed by The Old Oak later that day. Organised by your Kirky and supported by East Dumbartonshire Leisure and Culture EDLC Trust, the Kirky Picture Palace is a takeover of Kirkintilloch Town Hall. Councillor Jim Gibbons, Chairman of EDLC Trust, said, I'm pleased to see another diverse lineup of movies available for local film fans, including special screenings for people with dementia and carers and young children and families. The initiative is really proving popular with residents and visitors. Cinema coordinator Serena Marshall added, "Thanks to everyone who once again supported our community cinema in February. The feedback was excellent and it was great to see so many people enjoying themselves. Thanks also again to our wonderful volunteers who make it all possible. If you want to join the team, please get in touch." For more information, check out Your Kirky on social media. Tickets cost £5 adult and £3 child, with carers allowed in for free. All welcome. Book online via ticketline.co.uk.
MSP call on council to implement cycle scheme. Ross Greer is calling on East Dunbartonshire Council to follow neighbouring areas and start a cycle to work scheme for staff. Such schemes allow employees to purchase bicycles and equipment through their salary over a set period, making savings on those purchases through specific tax breaks. This makes it easier and more affordable for staff to leave their cars at home or save on public transport fares by commuting on their bike instead. Glasgow City, Inverclyde, North Lanarkshire and many other Scottish councils already have such a scheme in place, and following calls from the Scottish Green MSP, EDC are considering introducing one for 2024. Mr Greer said, "A cycle to work scheme offers council staff the opportunity to save money when buying a bike and related equipment, which will in turn help them save a fortune on fuel costs or public transport fares. It would also help us tackle the serious air quality problems we have in local pollution hotspots like Bearsden Cross and to meet the council's own climate targets. East Dunbartonshire needs to embrace the economic, environmental and health benefits of a cycle to work scheme as quickly as possible. We're already playing catch up with most neighbouring areas. This scheme would benefit staff and the wider community, taking more cars off the road and in turn tackling issues of air pollution and the climate crisis, not to mention making our streets safer for pedestrians." Read by Rebecca.
Carers can get grant. Young people may be missing out on help because they don't realise they are carers. Now they are being urged to find out if they're eligible for the Young Carer Grant. Introduced in 2019 by the Scottish Government, the grant has delivered over £3 million to over 6,600 teenage carers, yet a leading carers charity says many young people don't recognise themselves as carers. And that means they don't know they're entitled to benefits. Scottish Government figures suggest around 25% of those available for Young Carer Grant in 2023 did not apply. Young Carers Grant, paid by Social Security Scotland, is available to those aged 16 to 18 who spend 16 or more hours a week looking after someone who gets a disability benefit. The grant was introduced in October 2019 by the Scottish Government to help young people with caring responsibilities and is part of a wider package of support for young carers funded by the Scottish Government. Paul Traynor from Carers Trust said, "There are lots of young people caring for a relative, friend or member of their community who don't realise they are young carers and could be eligible for financial support. They might help someone get dressed in the morning, help with shopping or provide emotional support, for example. The person they look after could have a disability, illness or addiction. Young carers often view this as just helping out or part of family life. It could even be expected as part of their culture. It is vital that all young carers know about their rights, what support they are entitled to, are able to have a life alongside caring, and are helped to reach their full potential in all aspects of their lives. Young carers may also be eligible for carer support payment from Social Security Scotland or carers allowance from the Department of Work and Pensions. Carers Allowance Supplement is also available as an extra payment for people in Scotland who get Carer Support Payment or Carers Allowance on a particular date each year. These dates are available on the MyGov website. Meanwhile, Ross Greer has welcomed the crucial impact of the Scottish Child Payment for Families in East Dunbartonshire, calling it one of the most important steps for tackling poverty in decades. Scottish Government figures show that, by December 31st last year, the families of 3,435 children in East Dunbartonshire had benefited from the weekly payments, with the payment increased from £20 a week to £25 in November. It will be further increased to £26.70 a week from April amidst efforts to tackle the cost of living crisis and reduce child poverty. East Dunbartonshire's Scottish Green MSP said, "This is playing a crucial role supporting families, lifting many out of poverty. This much of a positive impact from a single measure hasn't been seen anywhere in Europe for decades. I'm proud we are part of the government delivering this support. We will not abandon vulnerable people like Westminster. I am proud this payment sits alongside other Scottish Green policies like free bus travel for young people and cancelling all school meal debt."
Praise from inspectors. A new inspection report has found organisations in East Dunbartonshire are working effectively to safeguard vulnerable adults in the area. A report on a joint inspection of adult support and protection services showed clear strengths in supporting positive experiences and outcomes for adults at risk of harm. The report said these outweighed the areas for improvement. The inspection aimed to independently scrutinise and provide assurance on how the partnership in East Dunbartonshire works to ensure the safety and protection of adults at risk of harm. The Chief Officer for East Dunbartonshire Health and Social Care Partnership welcomed the report. Carol Sinclair said, "This report clearly shows that our partnership is working effectively to safeguard adults at risk of harm. I am pleased that the inspectors found that our adult support and protection processes have had a positive impact on the local people's lives, which is a testament to the commitment of staff in dealing with what can be very challenging issues." The report highlighted notable strengths in our work, including the comprehensive and collaborative nature of adult support and protection inquiries, the quality of completed chronologies and the competency of investigations. I was also pleased that the review singled out the outstanding staff survey response, which they recognised as one of the strongest nationally. This, along with the findings that our strategic leaders successfully communicate a joint vision, which was well understood by staff at all levels, showcases a collaborative and shared ownership everyone within the partnership feels when it comes to adult support and protection. This, along with the findings that our strategic leaders successfully communicate a joint vision, which was well understood by staff at all levels, showcases the collaborative and shared ownership everyone within the partnership feels when it comes to adult support and protection. The report can be found on the Care Inspectorate's website.
Reasons to stop engine idling. Spring may be in the air, but sadly, so are dangerous chemicals from vehicle exhaust fumes threatening public health. So as we move into a new season, the Council's Environmental Health Team is urging motorists in East Dunbartonshire to switch their vehicle engines off when parked so that we can all breathe easier. They have three good reasons to help motivate drivers to cut their emissions. Be healthier. You can reduce harmful exhaust emissions like nitrogen oxides, carbon monoxide, and fine particulates by switching off. These pollutants cause harm to people's lungs, especially children. Save money. You can lower the cost of your fuel bills by switching off. Leaving your engine running for 10 minutes a day over 6 months could cost you around £60. Help the environment. Idling for just 30 seconds produces twice as much pollution than switching off and restarting your engine. Find out more at eastdunbarton.gov.uk/idling.
Local firm lends a hand. Green Fingered members of a specialist Oxgang primary club have thanked a local business for their support. The school's gardening leadership club wrote letters to local companies asking for help and assistance with materials. After reviewing their existing garden, pupils identified that they needed a host of materials to complete the improvements they wanted. and they received a very generous response from Vici Managing Director John Brown. And there were double thanks to be handed out, with Springburn Men's Shed offering some materials and labour. Group leader and school teacher Louise Short told us, "The children were so excited and grateful to receive the materials and are looking forward to getting their plans underway to making the school garden a bright, fun and usable space for all to enjoy." There are 15 children developing leadership skills throughout the gardening club with the aim of improving the garden. Vici were great with them and delivered a range of materials including wood and loose parts that the children are hoping can be turned into bird boxes and a wishing well for the garden. The children worked hard to offload all of the materials with the help of the delivery drivers and store them safely in the container. Now the men's shed are going to collect our old worn benches and refurbish them and create the wishing well and bird boxes from the materials supplied by Vici. We just need to find donations of soil, sand and play bark to complete our transformation.
Taxi rank proposals. People power is needed to drive measures to help improve the availability of taxis, support local businesses and increase safety in Eastern Bartonshire. Following initial consultation with representatives of the trade, Eastern Bartonshire Council has developed proposals for taxi stances, ranks in the area. Proposals include Kirkintilloch, the creation of a night zone supporting the nighttime economy, where taxis would be permitted to wait within Barleybank car park between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. Bears Den, the creation of a 24-hour taxi stance for two vehicles in Newkirk Road. The proposals would be subject to appropriate traffic regulation orders, TROs, being put in place. Milgai, the creation of a two-vehicle stance in Fulton Road at the train station, together with a four-vehicle feeder rank, also in Fulton Road, which would operate 24 hours per day. This would also be subject to a TRO being put in place. In addition, a night zone would be created in the Stewart Street car park, supporting the nighttime economy, where taxis would be permitted to wait between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. Work has been carried out in Bishop Briggs to identify a suitable location for a taxi stance as part of the Council's £34.88 million Place and Growth Programme, supported by the UK and Scottish governments through the Glasgow City Region deal. Proposals will be developed and consulted upon separately. Council leader Gordon Lowe, who is also the Policy and Resource Convener, said, "We're keen to engage with a range of passengers, drivers, businesses and organisations. Please get involved if you can. All feedback received will help to inform our ongoing work to improve availability of taxis, support local businesses, including the nighttime economy, and improve safety." Visit easternbarton.gov.uk/taxi-stances. That's easternbarton.gov.uk/taxi-stances to have your say before March 29th. After the consultation has concluded, a report will be brought to a future meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee setting out final proposals. Hate Hurts Campaign. Words can and do hurt people. Report by Julie Curry. New laws to tackle the harm caused by hatred and prejudice in Scotland come into force next month. The Hate Crime and Public Order, Scotland Act, will provide greater protection for victims and communities from April the 1st. It creates new stirring up of hatred offences for protected characteristics, including age, disability, religion, sexual orientation and transgender identity. These extra provisions will add to the long-standing stirring up racial hatred offences which have been in place since 1986. Recent statistics show that 5,738 charges of hate crime were reported in Scotland in 2022-23. However, not all crimes will be reported. A Scottish Government public awareness campaign, supported by Police Scotland, has been launched and will run until March 31st. The Hate Hurts campaign shows the impact of hate crime and encourages those who have witnessed or experienced a hate crime to come forward. Siobhan Brown, Minister for Victims and Community Safety, said, "For those impacted by hatred and prejudice, the results can be traumatic and life-changing. While we respect everyone's right to freedom of expression, nobody in our society should live in fear or be made to feel like they don't belong, and the Scottish Government is committed to building safer communities that live free from hatred and prejudice. Hate crime is behaviour that is both criminal and rooted in prejudice. It can be verbal, physical, online or face-to-face. The new law will give greater protections to those who need it and helps to form the basis of understanding about the type of behaviour that is not acceptable in our society. We must do all we can to give victims and witnesses the confidence to report instances of hate crime, which is why we have launched a new campaign, Hate Hurts. The campaign is informed by lived experience and explains what a hate crime is, the impact it has on victims and how to report it. Changing Faces campaigner Athol was born with a condition called cystic hygroma, which causes cysts to form when you have lymph nodes. He said, "I've experienced quite a lot of online trolling. In the darker periods, I've had people threaten to kill me just because of the way I look. There are times when I have cried about what people have said about me. Words can hurt and have a detrimental effect on how someone feels about themselves. My best advice is to report it." Chief Superintendent Farouk Hussein, Police Scotland Hate Crime Prevention Lead, added, "Hate crime is vile and wrong. To target a person, a group or a community because of who they are, how they look, or how they choose to live their lives undermines freedoms and rights we are entitled to enjoy as human beings. We want everyone targeted by hate crime, or those who witness it, to have the confidence to come forward." Crimes reported. The Hate Hurts campaign will run until March 31st across Scottish Government's social media channels, video on demand, and outdoor billboards. It aims to raise awareness of new laws from April the 1st under the Hate Crime in Public Order, Scotland Act, providing greater protection for victims and communities. In 2022-23, the total number of charges reported containing at least one element of hate crime was 5,038, 2% fewer than in 2021-22. Racial crime remains the most commonly reported hate crime. In total, 3,145 charges relating to race crime were reported in 2022-23, showing a decrease of 2% from 2021-22.
Violent attacks on shop workers have doubled. Retail trade union USDA has revealed shocking statistics from its annual survey of over 5,500 retail staff. The survey shows that 18% of shop workers suffered a violent attack last year, compared to just 8% in 2022. Assaults increased as the union also recorded an epidemic of retail crime, with official stats and reports from retailers showing significant increases in theft from shops. USDA's survey shows that levels of violence, threats and abuse all increased compared to pre-pandemic figures. In the last 12 months, 70% of shop workers experienced verbal abuse, 46% were threatened by a customer, and 18% were assaulted. Paddy Lillis, USDA General Secretary, said, "Our latest survey results clearly show the scale of the appalling violence, threats and abuse faced by retail staff. No one should feel afraid to go to work, but our evidence shows that too many retail workers are. It is shocking that nearly a fifth of our members are being assaulted for simply doing their job and serving the community. They provide an essential service and deserve our respect and the protection of the law. Our members have reported that they are often faced with hardened career criminals, and we know that retail workers are much more likely to be abused by those who are stealing to sell goods on." The survey result shows that 7 in 10 retail workers suffered abuse from customers, with far too many experiencing threats and violence. Theft and armed robbery were triggers for 61% of these incidents. Violence and abuse is not an acceptable part of the job, and much more needs to be done to protect shop workers. We were delighted to have won the campaign for a protection of workers' law in the Scottish Parliament. However, that is the beginning, not the end. we have to ensure that the legislation is central to tackle a growing wave of retail crime. USDAW looks forward to working with Police Scotland to make that happen. The British Retail Consortium and the Association of Convenience Stores have also both been recently reporting significant increases in violence and abuse against their shop workers.
Turning map yellow. Marie Curie is calling on readers to go yellow and fundraise this March to support its Great Daffodil Appeal. The Great Daffodil Appeal encourages everyone to wear their iconic daffodil pins and donate to the End of Life charity in March to help Marie Curie deliver its expert end of life care. Supported by headline partner Superdrug, the event raises much needed funds for Marie Curie nurses and healthcare professionals to provide expert care. It also funds the charity's free support line and web chat, which is available to anyone with an illness they're likely to die from and those close to them. Ashley Thompson, Head of Community Fundraising, said, "We're looking to paint Scotland yellow this March and need everyone to help. To sign up, visit www.mariecurie.org.uk/get-involved/fundraise/let's-go-yellow.
Centre helps Scots to get their lives back on track. Purple Day, the international day to help raise awareness of epilepsy across the world, will be held on Sunday, March 26th. Tens of thousands of people across the globe will come together to start or enter conversations about epilepsy, raise awareness of their experiences and to fundraise. Holly Richardson, 20, is one of many Scottish parents who have been treated at the William Corrier Scottish Epilepsy Centre. She had her first seizure when she was just 13, but had been 4 years seizure free when a tweak to her meds saw her sleeping 18 hours a day. She began to have more frequent seizures and had extreme reactions to noises or textures. "I know what it feels like to be a zombie," she said. According to her dad, Peter, tiny things would set her off into an aggressive rage. He said, "If a drink was a tiny bit too warm, she could headbutt or punch the wall and scream. I kept thinking that she was going to break her hand or hurt herself." However, Holly managed to get her life back when she got the specialist help she needed after being referred to the Govan Base Centre, which treats patients from all over Scotland. Epilepsy is the most common neurological condition across the world. Around 1 in 97 people live with epilepsy in Scotland, some 58,000 people. It can affect anyone, at any age and from any walk of life, and no two people experience epilepsy in the same way. The WQACC is the only inpatient assessment hospital for adults with complex epilepsy in Scotland, supporting patients from all over the country. The duration of the stay is crucial in being able to assess and treat drug-resistant epilepsy and diagnostic uncertainty. A specialist multidisciplinary team provides individual care and treatment plans for patients during their admission and are then followed up after discharge. The centre is run by Quarriers in partnership with the NHS. It is a unique facility with space for 12 inpatients. Epilepsy diagnosis is challenging because clinicians rarely witness the events experienced by patients. But at the WQACC, patients stay for a period to be observed using a state-of-the-art system, which includes cameras and mobile EEG equipment. Holly spent 6 weeks at the WQACC, although the first four were spent almost entirely in bed. She said, "They measured my brainwaves and there was almost no difference between when I was awake and when I was asleep." Holly was taken off her medication, a difficult process of detoxing with constant nausea and vomiting. New medication was then introduced under the watchful eye of the team, and Holly has now been seizure free for a year. The experience has also inspired her to do a degree in neuroscience. She added, "If I hadn't had epilepsy, I wouldn't have gone into science. I have no regrets." As well as seeing patients at the centre, Quarriers facilitates epilepsy community outreach services in Fife and the North East, offering support to those who live with epilepsy and their families. For more information, visit www.quarriers.org.uk/service/epilepsy-and-neurology/the-william-quarrier-scottish-epilepsy-centre.
Family announcements. Deaths. Brown. Betty. Peacefully on March 7th, 2024, at Campsie View Nursing Home. Beloved wife of the late John, much loved mum, nana and great nana. Fortified by rites of Holy Church, RIP. Funeral Mass will take place on Monday, March 25th, 2024, at Holy Family and St. Ninian's Church, Kirkintilloch, for 10 a.m, thereafter to Canter Cemetery for 11:15 a.m. Family flowers only, donations, if desired, to Dementia UK. Finlay, Dorothy. Peacefully at home on Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Dorothy, beloved wife of the late Alan Finlay, loving mum to Elaine, Graham, Murray and the late Alan. Dot was also a much loved gran to all her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Funeral service to take place at St. Columba's Parish Church, Kirkintilloch, on Friday, March 22nd, 2024, at 12:15 p.m. and thereafter to Old Isle Cemetery, Old Section, at 1 p.m. Family flowers only, please. There will be a retiral collection in favour of Alzheimer's Scotland. Trail. Michael Richard John. Passed away peacefully in the Marie Curie Hospice at 11:13 a.m. on March 13th, 2024, aged 89. Devoted husband of Chris, much loving father of Michael, Kay and Jacqueline, loving grandfather of Darren, McLean and Gavin. The funeral service will take place at Dal Dowie Crematorium on Monday, March 25th, at 2:45 p.m. Thereafter to Broadcroft Hotel. All welcome.
Adapting to climate change in Scotland. The Scottish Government is asking for views on how climate change is currently impacting the country. It is also considering how best to protect and restore nature and improve green spaces and communities. The effects of climate change are already being felt all over Scotland. That is why, as well as reducing emissions, the government is planning to take steps to adapt. Coastal erosion, flooding, wildfires and drought have taken a toll in many communities, while most of the country also felt the full force of Storm Isha and Jocelyn in quick succession in January. The impact, of course, changes depending on where you live. An island community in the Outer Hebrides will experience climate change differently to a community in the Central Belt. Local and lived experience is fundamental to shaping an effective response to climate change and its impacts. And that is why the Scottish Government is now asking readers for their input into its draft plan for adapting to climate change, the Scottish National Adaptation Plan 2024-29. The plan sets out proposals for managing the current and future impacts of climate change, as well as looking from a wider impact, from agricultural products to vital supply chains for foods, goods and services. It also outlines the potential economic opportunities for Scotland, such as the development of new, innovative products and services. Cabinet Secretary for Net Zero and Energy, MSP Marie McAllen, is asking readers to share their views ahead of the consultation's closing date on April 24th. She said, "Scotland is not immune from the impacts of climate change. 2023 was the hottest year on record, and storms have battered the country this winter, impacting families, communities and businesses. The public sector, third sector, businesses, communities and individuals all stand to benefit from learning more about their exposure to climate change risk, how they can respond, and what support is available. I urge everyone to take part in the consultation so we can build a more climate resilient Scotland for future generations. To have your say, visit www.consult.gov.scot/energy-and-climate-change-directorate/scottish-climate-adaptation-plan.
Storm damage. The amount of storm damage related claims in Scotland has increased by 57% in the last 4 years. Annual insurance claims have also climbed from 715 to 1124 between 2019 and 2022, according to new data from Confused.com. Those claims amounted to 11.5 million on average in 2022, following a whopping 733% increase. Matthew Harwood, insurance expert at Confused.com, said, "Extreme weather is common this time of year, but our data shows that claims are up 167% since 2019. It's likely that this is due to climate change and potentially the cost of living too, with damages of often costing people £389 on average. Many might now be turning to their insurer for help when they've previously been able to cover the costs themselves."
The Kirkintilloch and Bishopbriggs Herald letters page. Let's talk. As published on the 20th of March. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Time bomb of our young unemployed. Sir, the big jobless news in last week's ONS release was not the 9 million, about a quarter of working age UK adults who are economically inactive or out of work. We knew that already. It is the 3 million and rising economically inactive under 25s. This group represents about 20% of working age adults 30 years ago, when there were a mass unemployment of over 3 million. They now make up about 40% when unemployment is less than 4% of working age adults. So what has gone wrong? There has been a mental health crisis exacerbated by COVID. There are 2 million estimated long COVID sufferers. There are fewer opportunities for training due to government cuts in vocational education and reduced places in universities for Scottish students. Many people are finding the excessive cost of childcare means it is better to stay at home than take on multiple part-time jobs to make ends meet. Even so, it's difficult not to conclude that many more youngsters could work. This has been a major political issue, with Labour claiming they'd find resources for specialists to work with those affected by mental health to help them find work. This is preferable to the current approach of record immigration to fill vacancies. It all means that millions of young people are contributing little to society, and one wonders how that will play out for health and social services in the decades to come. A ticking time bomb is looming. Yours, etc. Neil Anderson, by email. Barnet NHS boost query. Sir, any reform which will rescue the NHS in Scotland from terminal decline must be welcomed. Scottish Labour's plan for NHS reform obviously will not solve all of the issues afflicting it, but it should encourage healthy debate about the measures which need to be put in place to make the healthcare structure fit for the 21st century. In response, Scottish Health Secretary Neil Gray trots out the same lame excuse that Westminster is responsible for underfunding the NHS and alludes to the fact that under the SNP, NHS staffing is at a record high and billions are being pumped into the healthcare system. If that is the case, why is it not working? I would also like to be convinced that the extra millions Scotland has received through the Barnett Formula consequentials for the NHS have been spent on health, but I am not. Yours, etc. Bob McDougall, by email. For poor, not wealthy. Sir, I was around when the NHS was set up. My dad explained that free at the point of use meant poor people like us would be getting the medical help we needed, paid for out of the pool of money to which we would all contribute. The emphasis was on the cash helping the needy, not the greedy. Rich people would respect their duty to help the less fortunate too. After all, have been dying in large numbers in a recent war defending everyone, the rich included. As the rich are not needy, they can afford to pay their own way. Many Scots are already doing so now that the NHS is broke, if not yet broken. The well-off, by going private, are relieving some of the burden from the NHS. This should be encouraged. The NHS was really set up to help the poor, and only the poor. Yours, etc. Tim Flynn, address supplied. New nail in green coffin. Sir, news that the total number of offshore wind jobs in Scotland fell from 29,700 to 25,700 in the past year, while profits are rising from almost £9 billion to £13 billion, is another nail in the coffin of the SNP Greens' just transition. They must find a way to tax these excess profits, which are partly boosted by subsidies paid from green levies on our energy bills. And in the spirit of the circular economy and terminology reusability, they could even call it a windfall tax. Yours, etc. Alan Sutherland, by email. Our kingdom for a sword. Sir, was there ever a more fitting metaphor for what the country has become than leader of the House of Commons Penny Mordaunt wielding a plastic sword inside a charity shop in Hampshire? In the town, Cosham, where Ethelred the Unready spent his terminal illness as hostile invaders and traders seized his kingdom from him unchallenged. As Marx put it, history repeats itself, first as tragedy, secondly as farce. Yours, etc. Mark Boyle, by email. And that was this week's letters page.
Wildlife Survey is counting on you. People's Trust for Endangered Species is calling for volunteers across Scotland to take part in its annual Living with Mammals survey. The leading wildlife conservation charity needs volunteers to record sightings of any wild mammals they see each week in their gardens, local parks or other green spaces such as allotments and churchyards. Survey results will enable conservationists to better understand how our environment is changing, how these changes impact wild mammal populations which need the most help, and where conservation action is needed. Any mammal, however, commonly seen, provides useful data. Last year, almost 800 sites across the country were surveyed throughout the year, with over 20 different species spotted, including garden regulars such as foxes and grey squirrels, and well-loved species such as hedgehogs. There were also records of rarer species too, such as red squirrels, highlighting the importance of rural and urban areas in conservation. David Wembridge, Mammal Surveys Coordinator, said, "With blossom on the trees and bats and hedgehogs emerging from hibernation, spring is a wonderful time to reconnect with the great outdoors and get involved in conservation. Taking part in Living with Mammals is a really valuable and easy way to help conservation. Every record, whether you spot anything or not, is crucial to understanding how different populations are changing year on year and how we can protect them. The data from Living with Mammals contributes to major reports such as the State of Nature and the State of Britain's Hedgehogs. Without these records, we wouldn't have such an insight into how different species are faring and how to help. Therefore, it's vital that as many people take part as possible. The 2023 results also showed that sightings of rabbits have fallen markedly since Living with Mammals began in 2003. Last year, only 1 in 10 sites surveyed reported rabbits, compared with a third of sites in the first few years of the survey. Living with Mammals runs from March until the end of the year. To take part, visit the PTES website.
Strike ballot over driver-only trains. ScotRail workers will be balloted for strike action over driver-only operation DOO trains. Bosses at the Scottish Government-run train company have said Barrhead and East Kilbride routes can run services without a second member of staff at the discretion of the driver. Over 100 conductors who will be affected by ScotRail's plans will be balloted. RMT General Secretary Mick Lynch said, ScotRail is trying to sneak through DOO via the back door by putting train drivers in a difficult position, giving them the power to decide whether a train runs or not without a second staff member on board. It is important for safety and the comfort of passengers that a second person is on these ScotRail services, and we will resist all attempts to endanger our members' jobs. The ballot opened on March the 20th and will close on Thursday, April the 11th.
Good day to you. My name's Philip and I'm reading from the Church News under District News. First of all, we go to Springfield, Cambridge. Their morning worship on Sunday, March the 17th, will be conducted by the Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by their assistant minister, Julie Hartley, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the hall. The Sunday school meets in room 2, where creche facilities are also available. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website at www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk. And of course, on Facebook page, where up-to-date information can be found about events in the church organisations, will be found there as well. And also, there'll be a vestry hour on Wednesday, March the 13th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. For anyone who would like to speak with the minister, there will also be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel, Wednesday, March the 13th, from 11:10 to 11:30 a.m., followed by tea and coffee, of course, in the Hall of Fellowship. Members of the congregation are invited to donate an Easter egg labelled A Gift of Hope to share the Christian message with individuals in temporary accommodation hostels and to support the work of Lodging House Mission in Glasgow. They should be left in the Hall of Fellowship on Sunday, March the 17th. And now we move to Kirkintilloch, the Church of God. At Regent Hall, Regent Street, there will be a good news service at 4 p.m. The speaker will be Dr. Carol Smith. A warm invitation to all is invited. Every Wednesday, our corner coffee shop is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over a coffee. And I'm sure they probably have tea as well. For up-to-date and further information on their services, visit their website on all the W's, regenthall.org. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is from Matthew 11. And then we move to Bishop Briggs, Hilton Road, St. James's Church. The rector, Canon, Paul Watson, and his number is usual Glasgow 230-4080 on Saturday, March the 16th, Dads and Kids, is held from 10:45 till noon. It's a great chance for dads with young children to come and get together around some banter, bacon rolls and coffee. They always say coffee, but I'm sure there must be tea as well. Okay, that'll be in for kids play. Then on Sunday, March the 17th, there will be a Sunday club at 10:30 a.m. There is a communion service at 11 a.m. on Thursday in the chapel and on Sunday, March the 17th in the chapel at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. in the church. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of the services. Do stay on for tea, coffee, yep, you got both of them there, and fellowship afterwards. And on Sunday, March the 17th, there is a Lent lunch. Donations to the Bishop's Lent Appeal is for Friends of the Holy Land. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to their social media, Facebook at St. James the Lest, Bishop Briggs, And their website is, yes, stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. And now we're moving to Torrance, and that's Torrance Parish Church, the morning service in person is at 10:30 a.m. conducted by the Reverend Stuart Irvin. During the service, the youngsters meet together in Christ Junior Church and Frog. I need to find out what Frog is. That's a group for youth. And you can click on to the service at Torrance Parish Church online.church. The cafe is open every Wednesday, 9 to 12 p.m. for teas and coffees, delicious homemaking. Why not come and taste for yourself? And the Girls Brigade meet on Wednesday, P1 to P3 at 6:15, and P4 to S6 at 7 p.m. And the Boys Brigade meet on Thursday, 7 to 9. That's the company session only. To find out about regular weekly activities, check out the website for what's on at all the W's, tpc.org.uk. And then we move to Lindsay, Lindsay Old Parish Church. Their Sunday worship begins in the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available for children under 3. The Quilt and Craft group meet every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon in the session room. Time out on Monday evenings is a social evening for ladies of all ages, 7:45 in the church hall. Come and Sing, the Dementia Singing Group meets on Tuesday, March the 19th at 1:15 p.m. in the church hall. Please feel free to come and sing. Thursday afternoon is on March the 28th to 2 to 4 p.m. Enjoy tea and coffee and homemaking, followed by board games or sit and chat. Scottish Country Dancing is on every Thursday, 7:15 to 9:30 p.m. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. Books for sale are donations to Women's Aid. Everyone is welcome. And now we move back to Bishop Briggs, to Colston Well Park Church. Colston Well Park is open to all, so feel free to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m, whether it is for a one-off or you're interested in a change. A warm welcome will be guaranteed. The service will be led by the Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson, followed by tea and coffee and conversation after the service if you wish to stay on. On Monday, the Art Club continues from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And anyone who is interested in joining, no matter how good or bad you think you are, you'll be made welcome. And if you're interested, pop along or give Ramsay a call on 07709584680 for more information. Our community drop-in, the Colston Tea Break, continues on Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So come along for good food, good chat and good company. And it's free. The Food Bank continues its essential work within our community and is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And to many who contribute and assist us in this good work, we give you our thanks. And then we move out to Milton of Campsie Parish Church. Cafe Connect is on Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddle. Come when you can, leave when you must. Also on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. the fellowship will hear from Jill Scott on the Grand Central Station. On Saturday, group of us will travel to Largs to see Andrew McRae perform in Carousel. The minibus will leave the church at 12:50 p.m. We meet for worship on Sunday, March the 17th at 11 a.m. All children's and youth group meet as normal. We focus on the crucifixion. Please send us a photo of yourself between two others. Our charity of the month, this month that is SU Holiday Camps, Baby and Toddler Group, Hobbies Club and Badminton meet on Monday. And then we move to Kirkintilloch again. We're certainly getting around today to Home Church, which is in Lammermuir Road. Home Church Kirkintilloch. And also they have a home church in the East End in Carmyle. And online, as usual, a church for all ages. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sunday, March the 17th, service times have changed. They have a 9:30 a.m. worship service followed by refreshments, and 11:30 a.m. worship service followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you at either service, which will be identical at Home Church Carmyle. 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And on Tuesdays, we have the engine room at 9:30, which is a talk on leadership from their pastor, Dave. And then back to Bishop Briggs, Kenmure Parish Church. All are welcome to come to our messy breakfast at 10 a.m. each Sunday in the church hall. And messy breakfast, if you've never heard that saying before, it's just about coming along in more a relaxed atmosphere. There won't really be any mess as per se. So come along. Although intended for children, the young at heart are very welcome to attend as well and enjoy breakfast and fellowship before the main service starts at 11 a.m. This week, our service will be led by the Reverend Susan Anderson. You're welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it's streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees will be served, but not on the YouTube, and at a time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. This are the most up-to-date details of all our groups are currently running. They may be found on the What's On section of our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Home groups, Tuesdays, Bible study on Zoom, Wednesdays, now called Boiler Room, in church at 7:15, except last Wednesday in the month, and on all social media platforms. There's also Craft and Coffee, Fridays at 10 a.m. Youth groups, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Home radio is also available every day. Open Home Church Growth Conference Tuesday, March the 19th, from 9:30 to 4:30 p.m. It's a free event. And see Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmile and Kirkintilloch. It's strange that we've got some stuff about Home Church underneath Kenmure Parish, but we're all God's children, and I'm sure they don't mind meeting one another. And now we move to St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, March the 17th, will begin at 11 a.m. as usual, and will be taken by the Reverend Ruth Morrison. The young people in the church will meet in the church halls for age-appropriate activities. During the service, Wednesdays, welcome will take place on Wednesday, March the 13th, when tea, coffee and home baking will be available from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. Our monthly communion service will take place beginning at 11:30 a.m. The craft group will meet on Monday, March 18th at 2 p.m. when we will continue making crafts for Easter and beginning plans to extend our poppy banner in October in preparation for November. On Saturday, March the 23rd, the Kirkintilloch Male Voice Choir are holding their annual concert in St Mary's Parish Church beginning at 7 p.m. Tickets costing £10 are available from any church members or choir members. A donation from the proceeds will be made to Guide Dogs Scotland. And then we move back to Lindsay. Lindsay Union Church, that is, on Sunday morning. We meet together at 11 a.m. for our communion service. A creche is provided for babies and toddlers. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible Class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea, coffee and home baking every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon in the New Hall. Youth Cafe is Thursdays, 3:45 to 5 p.m. A place where young people can hang out, relax and have a good time after a long day at school. The coffee pot opened on Fridays, 10 a.m. to noon in the New Hall. Teas and coffees and chats. So that's us for today. Church News in Kirkintilloch Herald. Thank you for staying with me. My name's Philip, and if you want to hear more from me, check out the Home Radio website and Home Radio station. I'm on Monday nights at 8 p.m. God bless you.
District News General. Holyrood View. Pavement parking is now illegal, by Ross Greer, MSP. Nobody should have to put themselves in a vulnerable position because a car is parked where it shouldn't be. That's why, back in 2019, the Scottish Parliament passed a law which allows councils to ban pavement parking, with appropriate exceptions such as for emergency vehicles. Tackling pavement parking will make pavements safer for pedestrians, especially people with buggies, wheelchair users and those with mobility challenges. In January, Edinburgh City Council became the first to enforce the pavement parking ban. Under the new rules, drivers who park on pavements will face a £100 fine. No one should not have to put themselves at risk by walking onto the road to get round a badly parked car. Yet, all over East Dumbartonshire, we can see inconsiderate drivers parking wherever they want, deterring people from walking and wheeling and blocking the pavement for those with mobility issues. While other councils have been enforcing the ban for months, East Dumbartonshire Council is taking a light touch approach to the enforcement before a hard launch of the ban in the summer. Local exemptions for the ban include Myrtle Square and Springfield Square in Bishopbriggs, with more to potentially come in the near future, including David Donnelly Place in Kirkintilloch. The pavement parking ban aligns with the Scottish Government's wider efforts to promote walking, wheeling and cycling. In the 2024-25 budget, our parties have committed to spending a record £220 million on this work. Our year-on-year record investment will make it easier and safer to leave the car at home. In turn, that will tackle health issues such as air pollution, which is a particular problem in Kirkintilloch. It will also help reduce emissions and ensure Scotland is playing its part in tackling the climate crisis. It is vital that every council takes the issue of pavement parking seriously and puts a ban in place as soon as possible. We shouldn't face a postcode lottery where inconsiderate parking is allowed in one area but not another. After waiting years for safer, more accessible streets, East Dumbartonshire Council must now finally enforce the ban and bring an end to pavement parking in our communities. Pavements are not car parks. It is dangerous and inconsiderate. Looking for heroes' life stories, Strathblane Heritage has launched a project to research the lives of the community's Second World War heroes. The names of 6 of them appear on the local war memorial, but little is known about their lives or how they died. The Society has recruited a team of volunteers from its membership who have undertaken to produce the stories of these men in time for next year's 80th anniversary of VE Day. Recently, they assembled for a briefing at Strathblane War Memorial. There is a short photo above that shows Sylvia Armstrong, Alistair Smith, Pat Davey, Jamie Miller, Jim Rand, Anne Balfour, co-chair of Strathblane Heritage, Jude Gregor, Al Fleming. Anne Balfour explained that the Strathblane War Memorial was, like most throughout Scotland, erected to commemorate the lives of those lost during the First World War. The names of those who died in World War II were only added as an addendum, and few records exist of their lives in war service. A few years ago, there was a local initiative to tell the stories of the 27 local men who gave their lives in the First World War, she said. Now, with the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II fast approaching, we feel it's time to do the same for the 6 men whose name appear on our memorial, but about whom we know little. The project will also include Daniel Davidson, a 7th man who died in 1946, presumably as a result of his war service, as he was a Commonwealth War grave in Strathblane Cemetery. The Holy Grail will be to track down family members who can share the memories of these men that have been passed down to them, maybe along with photographs, letters and memorabilia. The team will work to capture both the personal and wartime histories of these 7 men, using a combination of military sources and the more familiar genealogical databases used by family historians, such as Scotland's People and Ancestry. The Strathblane 7 are Royal Artillery Gunner James Callender, Leading Aircraftsman Daniel Davidson, Royal Navy Volunteer Reserve Lieutenant Andrew McLean, RNVR Petty Officer Gilbert Mackay, Royal Engineer Sapper Archibald McNichol, Highland Light Infantry Lieutenant Colonel Richard Pedder, RNVR Chief Petty Officer Alexander Turnbull. If any reader can provide information about any of them, they're asked to use the contact form on the Society's website, www.strathblaneheritage.org. For more info, we're on 07801 456 092.
Take in the Derby, an article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Glasgow City and Partick Thistle Women have jointly announced an initiative to help grow the game in Scotland. Hashtag Growing the Game will see season ticket holders of both SWPL1 sides, along with kids, gain free entry for both meetings between the sides following the league split, regardless of the home team. City host the first Petershill Park Derby meeting between the two teams on Wednesday, April 17th, with Thistle as the home team in the penultimate game of the season on Wednesday, May 15th. Glasgow City commercial manager and co-founder Carol Ann Stewart said, "The top six of the SWPL1 is one of the most competitive in Europe on the pitch. Off the pitch, we are delighted to collaborate with Partick Thistle for our forthcoming matches by allowing both sets of season ticket holders and all youths free entry to both games. Hopefully the matches will be competitive and exciting for a bumper crowd, and the collaboration has a positive impact on the growth of our game." Thistle Women CEO Caroline Mackey added, "We all want our own clubs to grow, but more importantly, we have a duty to ensure that the women's game flourishes from grassroots up. We look forward to helping to encourage this alongside Glasgow City with this initiative. We hope to see both sets of fans at Petershill Park cheering on their teams for what will be two exciting games. Both matches between the sides so far this season have been entertaining spectacles for spectators, and with an exciting run into the season ahead, the remaining two games should be no different. City move closer to the top of the SWPL1 table with a 2-0 win away to Hearts in the first game after the split, with both goals from Fiona Brown and Emily Whelan. Second place Celtic beats leaders Rangers 2-1 to stay above City goal difference on goal difference, with the three teams separated by just a single point. Thistle remains six of the top six following a 2-0 loss away to Hibernian and take on Rangers in the final of the Sky Sports Cup on Sunday." That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Ashfield now looking to kickstart their season. This article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Ashfield boss Michael Oliver was delighted to see another side to his team as they got their promotion push back on track with a 2-1 win away to kill-winning Rangers in the WOS First Division. Sean Slaven kept his composure to put Ashfield 1 up before they doubled their advantage when good play between Robert Barr and Jonathan Black ended in an own goal. The home side went down to 10 men when Kieran Wood saw red for a wild tackle on David Ledbetter. But Kilwinning pulled one back as a long throw allowed Cameron McNair to finish at the back post. Oliver told the Field TV, "It wasn't a pretty game. I would say it was two teams doing fairly direct and was a bit of a battle. We completely changed how we normally play because we knew it would be that type of game on the grass pitch and with the conditions as well. So I thought the boys were excellent. It's a massive 3 points for us. Having lost our last three league games, we knew we just had to find a way to win. And, thankfully, the boys have shown another side to them and been able to come do that. They need to take confidence from rolling up the sleeves and finding another way to win, and hopefully can now kickstart the season again. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy moved 1 point further away from the bottom three in the Premier Division with a 1-1 draw at bottom of the table, Irvine Meadow. Caledonian Locomotives dropped to third in the second division with a 2-1 loss away to Yoker Athletic, while Glasgow Perthshire remain in the bottom three as they lost 3-2 at home to Glasgow University. West Park United are also still in the relegation place in the third division with a 4-3 defeat at home to Port Glasgow Juniors, but do have many games in hand. There are now only 3 points separating the top five in the fourth division. Indeed, Rossville could have gone top at the weekend, but were held to a 1-1 draw away to Lugar Boswell Thistle. On four local teams are in action on Sunday as Rob Roy travel to Largs Thistle, Ashfield host Rutherglen Cairn, Calais are home to Craig Mark Burtonians, and West Park welcome Kilsyth Athletic. That article was written by Brian Newell and read by me, Corey. Chance to meet new Tigers lineup. The Glasgow Tigers supporters group will be holding the traditional Meet the Team evening on Friday at Firhill Stadium. It will be the first time the new Tigers lineup will be together prior to defending the championship title. The riders will individually chat about their hopes and aspirations for the 2024 campaign at Ashfield. Team boss Cammy Brown said, "The season always officially starts with this event, organised by the GTSG. It will be fascinating to see the new squad together. We are holding a training camp with the team over that weekend, so there's always a great feeling about the season starting." The event starts at 7:30 p.m. and entry costs £10 for adults, £1 for under-16s and free for Growlers Club members. There will also be a raffle and an auction of Speedway memorabilia, while club merchandise will be available. First Foot Academy. Lindsay After School Club are looking for football kit, tops slash shorts combination, and boots gear that pupils have outgrown, but still in good condition, to send to the First Foot Academy in Mombasa in Kenya. Club leader Ian Stevenson has a family member, a nurse, volunteering to spend part of her holiday in July doing injections at the school. Ian is trying to collect 120 sets, which will cover all the pupils aged 6 to 15, and has already received 41 sets and 15 pairs of boots, but would appreciate more help. To contribute or for more details, email stevenson.ian@hotmail.co.uk. That's stevenson.ian@hotmail.co.uk. That article was unattributed, but it was read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q&Review and tell your friends about our service.